here at 716 Food and Sport on the Paul William Belts post game. We're going to be getting live locker room reaction in just a moment as the Sabres fall to the Philadelphia Flyers by a 6-2 score. Sabres have lost five in a row. Well, it started great. Couple of goals early from Jack Eichel, 2-0, off and running. It looks as though the Sabres are going to outskate Philadelphia in this game. They came out very fast. Not only did Eichel look like the best player on the ice, but you saw some other Sabres with opportunities. Tage Thompson was putting on some good moves. Connor Sherry had a couple of good opportunities to score. And even though Philly scored after one, you felt like it was still going to be the Sabres' day after 20 minutes of play. But boy, the second and the third period, just awful performance by Buffalo. Just a total collapse. The defense was bad. Nothing in front of Linus Allmark was good. They seeming to be backing off more and more as the game went on. And then finally, Buffalo gets what the fans were clamoring for, a power play with the game tied at two, and then a three-on-one shorthanded goal going back up the other way where Giroux ends up scoring. And from there on, then Simmons and then Weiss and Konecki, and Sabres get blown out of their own building. 6-2 is the final. And after a 10-game win streak, now Buffalo's lost five in a row, and it's spun in the other direction. Where is this team? Well, probably somewhere in between a 10-game win streak and a 5-game losing streak. I don't think they're as great as the 10-game win streak would indicate. I don't think they're as bad as a 5-game losing streak would cause you to react either. But clearly you watch period two and period three today, and boy, there's a lot to not like. And there's some players that had some pretty poor outings over the course of that final 40 minutes here today. And, you know, would you like Linus Allmark on a couple of these maybe to help his team out? Sure, I don't think it mattered, though. I mean, the Sabres were just not going to bring it in these final 40 minutes of play. Even if he's able to stop one or two of the odd man rushes or one of the deflections or whatever, the one that maybe poked through his legs that went off Bogosian, I didn't think that the Sabres provided much pressure at all back the other way once that first period came to an end. After that first, it seemed like, okay, this is what they needed. They needed those 3 days off of game action. They needed to be home. They got themselves recharged, refreshed after that, you know, what was a really, really exciting 10-game streak there where they had won all those games in a row. And then you come off of a road trip and come home against the Leafs, and they looked good against Toronto, even though the outcome ends up being a point short with them losing in overtime. But that game felt like, okay, they're back, they're skating. This is what the Sabres are all about. The first period today looked pretty good. The shots at one point were like 9-3 Buffalo. And then Eichel scores to make it 2-0. He looks like he's ready to just take over the game. He had all took over at that point already. But I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, the effort, the decision-making, the lack of pressure. You know, the Sabres came out, I thought, looking excellent. They had the, quote, shot mentality that Phil Housley loves. 17 shots in the first period. They didn't even get close to that in terms of the next 40 minutes. 9 in the second, just 4 in the third. Talk about laying down. Just 4 in the third. Philadelphia outshoots Buffalo in the game by a 41-30 score, but a 41-30 outcome, just not good overall. And yes, I know fans were clamoring for some penalties to be called. There were definitely some that I thought the refs missed, but this game in the end is not about the officiating, as Buffalo gave them plenty to blame for down the stretch here. A lot of the goals, of course, coming 5-on-5. Only one goal the whole game came on special teams, and that was when Giroux scored with Buffalo on the power play, getting his 11th of the season on that 3-on-1. A sloppy play by Reinhardt on that play that leads to the 3-on-1, and that ends up giving them the game winner. Well, Buffalo's goal scoring came from Jack Eichel. Let's start first with him, live in the room with Paul.
Asked how gutting was the loss against the Leafs, and you seem pretty optimistic about the way you guys played, but to see things kind of unravel in the final 40 minutes, how tough is this?
Yeah, I mean, that's not us. Obviously, like you said, you know, I mean, the streak we were on, that's over. It means nothing now, you know. Now we're losing sight of what's made us successful, and, you know, it's just we haven't worked really, and that's a prime example. I thought they just outworked us for 40 minutes, and that's why the game ended up 6-2. It's frustrating, you know. You think that you get a couple of days off, you're able to rest, regroup, and you're playing a game at home. And you know, that's a product we put on the ice. That's it's not good enough. We got to realize, you know, we haven't earned anything in this league. Just because we won a couple games doesn't mean, you know, we're just going to put our skates on and go out there and win. I mean, it's every night you play, it's a battle, and you know, we got to realize that. And they just wanted it more. It's frustrating to say the least.
How did they get you guys running around in your defensive zone?
Well, I mean, I thought they did a good job, but I just didn't think we were working in our own zone, and you know, I didn't think we broke the puck out smoothly. I thought, you know, all five guys, you know, we all got to be better. You know, centers, we got to be better in support. You know, our D got to move the puck quicker, and you know, wingers got to do a better job. But I think it's pretty simple. It's just our work, you know, getting in battles, winning our battles, and executing a breakout.
I guess the thing that was so shocking is you did.
What's that?
Was it too easy for you guys to start? Almost felt like the first
one? Well, I mean, yeah, we get a good start, and you're happy with the first few minutes, and then obviously you let up a goal at the end of the first. That's frustrating, and you don't want to see that happen. And then all of a sudden, thought we were on our heels a bit. Didn't really play a good second period either. Thought we were in our zone too much, and then, you know, the third period, you guys saw what happened. So, you know, like I said, you can't just expect to go out and win in this league, and I think that that's the biggest lesson we got to learn here. I mean, it takes a lot of hard work and, you know, shift after shift, just doing the right things. It's, you know, if you don't make a huge play on your shift, at least win a battle, do something. It's important, and I think we've gotten away from it, and, you know, we got to get back to, you know, what made us successful, and, you know, that's not it. And, you know, we've just had too many lapses, given teams too many chances. I mean, I don't know what the chances were, but, you know, I know we gave up a lot, and it's just not good enough. It's not the style that this team has to play.
On your second goal, Lawrence seemed like he took a look and saw you over there. Did he see you, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he does a great job getting the shot through, and you know, just trying to get to the net. It's a good play by him and Risto, you know, letting us get to the net, and you know, it's good to see him. Thought he played well, and I thought he's been playing well for us. So it's nice to see him get his first point.
This is one of those games where it's kind of tough to keep the emotions in check. There's, you know, plays that there's, you know, extracurricular stuff going on after the whistle. Maybe calls aren't made.
I think that's just hockey. I mean, you saw the game we played against them. I think before Thanksgiving it was the same way. I mean, it was emotional, a lot of battles, a lot of in-game battles. I mean, that's going to happen. It's pretty standard for. You know, us playing them, I think it's a physical game, and you know, they won the battle tonight, and it's just not good enough. We gotta regroup here and be ready to play a, you know, Kings team on Tuesday.
Jack Eichel in the post game. Brian, actually, I'm gonna keep it right here. We have Lawrence Pilot, and Lawrence, let's start with your first point. Yeah, I heard you have family here to see it, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a mom and dad and a couple of relatives here to see it. So it was good to get the first one out of our way.
Is it extra special because they were here?
Yeah, in one way, yeah, it would be extra special if we just won.
Did you see Jack on that goal in front?
I just saw something lingering around the net, and I felt like I just wanted to try to get it to the net, and hopefully it'll bounce in somehow.
Lawrence, you guys had such a good first period. Then you guys started running around in the second and the third. What happened that you guys started running around in your own zone?
I think it's all about, we just got to follow our game plan, and we just got to keep working hard. I think we did it mostly, but we just got to stick to our game plan and learn from it.
Did they do anything differently to give you guys trouble just with the breakout passes that got out of your own zone?
I mean, they were pretty good in closing down areas for us, but I think we could have solved it pretty good otherwise. I think we had a couple of good plays. We made up ice and a couple of bad ones.
You guys worked hard in the first period to get some chances. Do you think maybe the team wasn't working as hard in the last two periods?
I don't know. It's hard to tell, but I think we just got to keep focusing on what we had in the first period and keep building off that all the time.
Linus was terrific early. How badly do you feel that you guys couldn't lock it down for him?
Of course, it doesn't feel too good, but I mean, he had a great game and he should keep going his way. I mean, he's a great goalie and he's been great so far with what I've seen.
Thank you, Lawrence. Lawrence Pilot in the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you. Lawrence Pilot getting his first NHL point. And yeah, mom and dad, relatives in the stands, that's good for him. Before that, Jack Eichel. He's the only guy that scored today for Buffalo in the 6-2 defeat. His eighth and ninth of the year. Buffalo off and running, and then it all came loose. A 6-2 Philadelphia victory. All of our Blue and Gold Locker Report interviews brought to you by Fidelis Care. Quality health coverage, it's our mission. Visit FideliscCare.org. Well, Buffalo's lost five in a row. How do you feel about it? 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. You can send the station a text if you'd like to at 550-550, or you can send me a tweet if you're on Twitter today at BrianWGR. All right, for all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodbye to you. We'll talk to you on Tuesday here from downtown Buffalo with the Sabres and the Kings at 7. For all of you on our flagship on Sports Radio 550, more Paul William Belt's postgame coming up. We're live here at 716 talking about the Sabres loss to the Flyers. 6-2 the score. I'm Brian Colzio. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Ristolainen and breaking it up. And at the same time throwing a big check and then got nailed again. And then the linesman came in to try and break it up, and he almost nailed it as well.
Rick Jenneret there on the call with our Seneca Poker Deck of the Game, brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. 6-2 Philadelphia over Buffalo. Here's Phil Housley now live. Okay, Phil Housley, we will get to in a moment. Sabres fall 6-2. We'll get some of the postgame comments coming up here on the Paul William Belt's postgame in just a moment. Let's go through the highlights though from this one as the Sabres get off to a good start. We'll pick four mark, and it looked like it was going to be Buffalo's day. Jack Eichel comes flying into the Philly end, and he gets Buffalo on the board first.
The shot in front of the net, the shot right on, and Omark making the save there on Laterra. Played on the center, Eichel cutting in on goal, he shoots, it's goal! Don't give that man that much room! 1-0 Buffalo!
Eichel's eighth of the year, Reinhardt and Skinner assisting, 1-0 Buffalo, and a real nice wrist shot. We go a little less than 8 minutes later, and Eichel's at it again. It's Pilot, his shot from the point, deflected in, and Buffalo goes up by two.
Ristolainen and wheels it back in the other direction. Pilot takes a shot, he scores! Eichel was there again, and I think he tapped it home, and Buffalo has a 2-0 lead.
Eichel's second of the game, ninth of the year. Pilot and Ristolainen assisting, 2-0 Buffalo, and for Pilot, that's his first NHL point. From there, though, geez, it was all downhill, starting with less than a minute later, as Philadelphia gets their first of six, this one right off the faceoff.
Two games. They score right off the faceoff. Parker, the shot is blasted by Omark, and Philly's right back in it again.
Well, we really don't care because we want to show all the good stuff, not the bad stuff here, but you're right.
So, man, Riemsdyk gets his second of the year. Giroux gets it to him right off the draw at 12:52. 50 seconds after Eichel made it 2-0, it's now a 2-1 Buffalo lead. That was the score after one. And then from here, boy, downhill it went. Allmark to start the period, a monster save on Voracek, which kept it a 2-1 lead, but eventually it's Philly that ties it up. A low shot on the far side from Provorov ends up beating Linus Allmark.
Kept in along the boards. Worked back into the corner again as Tennyson comes over. Dumped out in front. They shot. That's right on. They score. And Philadelphia comes back just after the Buffalo penalty is expired and ties the game at two.
Though Provorov's third from Lawton and Raffle, making it a 2-2 game at the 10-10 mark of period two. That's where we stood through 40 minutes. Early third, though, the Sabres get finally a power play opportunity, their first of the game, and a chance to get the lead back and get their legs going and the crowd back alive. But instead, a mistake, and back the other way come the Flyers on a 3-on-1.
Reinhardt after it again. Had to get it back to the point, but it's every second. Here's a 3-on-1 break for Philadelphia. Get over the line. The Flyers shot. They score. Giroux put it away, and Philly has its first lead of the game. Short-handed goal.
So Giroux's 11th of the year, 249. Now the crowd seemed to be maybe in it, getting that power play, and instead Philadelphia grabs their first lead. That ends up being the game winner from Giroux. It's the big moment of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. And then the onslaught is on from Philadelphia. At 8:10, Simmons gets his 10th on a mad scramble in front. At 9:25, Weiss gets a beautiful pass from behind the net from Raffel with no coverage in front to make it 5-2. And then Travis Konecki's 9th of the year at the 11-minute mark. Just soft defense. Everyone backing off. A redirection made it a 6-2 game. And those are your highlights delivered by Speed Global Services. Around the corner or around the world, Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. Final shot totals in the third. No push from Buffalo at all. Just four shots for the Sabres. Philadelphia out shooting them 12-4 in the game, 41-30. Power plays, Buffalo had one. And you heard it there. Giroux ends up scoring shorthanded. Philadelphia 0-3 on their opportunities. Anthony Stolarz is your winning goaltender. He makes 28 saves on 30 shots and a couple of nice ones. It is Linus Ullmark who takes the loss. Not much help today for him. 41 shots, 35 saves. Your three stars are all from the visiting team. Simmons, star number three, he had a goal. Van Riemsdyk, he also scored and had an assist. He's star number two. Claude Giroux, the game winner, he had a couple of other assists as well. He's star number one. Claude Giroux is the high-impact player of the game. It's brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance announced at KeyBank Center, 18,283. And Buffalo will be back at home for another home game Tuesday night. The Los Angeles Kings are the opponent. 7 o'clock faceoff. We'll have it for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. Okay, when we come back, we'll get some phone calls. Pat will get you a check on the NHL day. We'll update you on the standings. We'll look ahead to the Kings game, and your phone calls are welcome at 803-0550. 6-2, Philadelphia, the final. They beat Buffalo. The Sabres have lost five in a row. I'm Brian Colzio, live at 716. This is the Paul William Belts postgame show. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Welcome back to 716 Food and Sport here on the Paul William Belts postgame show. Brian Colzio with you, a clunker for the Buffalo Sabres. It started great. Jack Eichel scores twice. It's 2-0. The building is into it. Sabres seem like they're ready to fly all over the ice, but the Flyers were the team that flew the rest of the way. A dominating performance in the second and the third, outshooting Buffalo in that third period by 12-4 total, 41-30 in the game. And the Sabres unable to play really any much of defense at all, as Linus Ullmark not getting much help, and the Sabres have lost their fifth in a row, 0-3-2 in that stretch. And Jack Eichel said it after a win streak of 10 games, it's meaningless now. He's like five in a row. In the column, in the loss side. And the Sabres have another crack at it with another winnable game, at least in terms of the quality of opponent. The LA Kings come to town here on Tuesday. Los Angeles enters today in last place in the West. So there you go. And then Arizona coming back after that. Not powerhouses like the Sabres originally had here. All right, let's grab a few phone calls, then we'll hear from Phil Housley and his thoughts. Let's go to AJ on the postgame. Hi, AJ, go ahead.
Hey, Brian. So I'm in town. My son's playing in the Colgate-Niagara game tonight, and thought I'd catch a Sabres game after a 10-game win streak. But all of a sudden, five quick losses in a row. Yes, there's been some points, but what I took away from the game today is you go Eichel goal, and then where's the secondary scoring? I mean, Connor Sheary, you know, he's out there, he's hustling, but It's not that goal scoring finesse that you're looking for. Although this defense just looks rebuilt, they look re-energized, but secondary scoring needs to start happening, and that's going to be the key to success. Otherwise, Sherry's penis is going to fall right.
All right, AJ, thank you. Yeah, I think the secondary scoring is a big moment, a big spot here, as they haven't been able to get much scoring at all, other than Eichel's line. I mean, in general, I've liked the way Ristolainen has played the last couple of games, Pat, but beyond that, offensively, they're not generating much. Middlestat's line's gone really quiet.
Yeah, and you know, someone asked me earlier this week, was I concerned about the secondary scoring, and my answer was,
well, let's talk once the calendar flips to January. But, I mean, at some point, you're going to have to get production out of players other than just the Jack Eichel line. And tonight, this afternoon would have been a good example. Eichel scores you two goals in the first period, and then nothing else. You know, at any point, if another line just scores one goal, if one shot goes in, you're maybe talking about a different result here today. Instead, the not lack of depth, but the depth not coming through is really what could be concerning when you look towards, you know, you look back in the last handful of games.
Sherry had that great opportunity to score late in the first, and a really, really nice glove save from Stolarz. That sequence where he has the glove save, and then back the other way, Allmark has the save on the partial breakaway. Either of those goals go in, maybe, you know, I mean, obviously for Philly, they're still maybe winning this game. But for Buffalo, they go back up 3-1. Maybe it re-energizes them coming into period number two for a better performance, because obviously the second and the third were not good for Buffalo.
Yeah, or, you know, when in the third period, you know, I would hope if you finally get your first power play chance that you're able to come through and at least get something going on it. Instead of just shorthanded goal, no chances, you know, just get some type of offense going when you've got the man advantage, because it was going to be one of your only chances of the game, and instead it goes completely the other way.
Yeah, 6-2 Philadelphia. Let's go to Paul next. Hi, Paul. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. You're right on point with the analysis about burying chances. If Tate Thompson buries it, if Ristolainen buries it, Philly goes to bed. And we got to realize, you know, quarter way in the season almost, we're not going to all of a sudden become a great defensive team. That's not just going to be learned on the fly. That'll happen down the road in a year or two. But right now, we got to bury the chances we get, because
I think we lost you, Paul. Anyway, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Yes, there were opportunities. Thompson in that first period puts on the highlight reel move, unable to finish it. Ristolainen, I thought, had a very excellent shift to set up Sherry for a glove save. But the scoring has to come from somebody else besides the Eichel line. I mean, we know obviously what Skinner's been doing. Reinhardt had, I thought, a very, very, very poor game. And I actually thought maybe to start the third that we would have seen Housley do what he's done at times, which is flip Pominville back into that spot to maybe wake them up a little. Not necessarily Eichel's line, but maybe that would wake up Pominville and wake up Reinhardt and get that another line going, and even just the team itself. So that obviously didn't occur, and, you know, I don't know if it would have made a difference. The way the Sabres played the third, I don't know necessarily if that plays out any differently. But Rodriguez, Saboka, and Oposo offensive chances are pretty much almost nothing at this point. And we were getting quite a bit of secondary scoring from the Sabres defense, and that hasn't been there as of late.
Yeah, and, you know, defensively, sure, you'd like the team to maybe play a little more, you know, in the middle. It's so not as many swings in the good way or bad way. But, you know, I think the defense has taken a pretty large step from last year to now this year. And guys like Beaulieu have done a nice job. And, you know, Dahlin's going to make mistakes, but he's learning as he goes and learning when he can jump into the rush and when he can't. And sometimes you're going to take lumps with that as well.
6-2, Philadelphia wins it. Let's grab one more call here before we hear from the head coach. Brian in Williamsville is up next. Hi, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up with that. I do agree what you just said. The only thing I'd have done differently than put Pomville on the first line is maybe that third line that needs to be a little bit re-energized, where you could put maybe 21 back up there and on the second line and put Pominville on that third line with Oposo, and maybe you flip the two and maybe they energize each other a little bit more. But that had Gergesen's in there for that fourth line today. We really could have used some solid muscle up there.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, I would guess we'll see Gergesen's. Maybe we'll see Ellie too. That, you know, Phil Housley sends a message that what we saw in the second and the third today was unacceptable. So I would guess, who knows, maybe we'll even see a defensive change or another call up there too. I don't know. Tennyson necessarily didn't do anything to blow me, impress me in any way here. So I think he might. Who knows? We'll see if he ends up falling down, coming down again or going back up, whatever. Okay, Phil Housley, his comments here. Let's hear what he says after this 6-2 loss.
After your first period, what got the team running around in the defensive zone in the second period?
Well, I think, we came out pretty strong. We had a good start. And we scored a couple goals early. We had an opportunity to sort of seal the game, if you will, and give the goalie credit. He made some big saves. They get that goal at the end of the first, I believe. And then we came in the second period. I just thought once we got the two goals, we thought it was going to be an easy game. And we stopped checking. But even saying that, it's 2-2 in the third period, and I still thought we were we got outplayed in the second period because we didn't check as well. We didn't manage our game, and there was some momentum in Philly's corner. But even saying that, we come back, and it's 2-2, and we go on a power play, and it's an excellent opportunity to create some momentum back off of that. But it's unfortunate we give up the shorthanded goal, and I think that really took the sails out of the wind out of our sails at that point.
It seemed like it was, like you said, it was going to be an easy game. Guys were clearly looking back to the last time you played Philly. How much of that is you have to learn how to be a winning team?
There's a lot to learn from it. We talked about it, that they were going to come in here with a strong effort. And I know it didn't look that way in the first, but there's a 60-minute game there. And we didn't stay true to what has made us successful. We're a hard-checking team, and we got away from that. We wanted to be fancy. We didn't make the right decisions. And when we do that, we're not a very good team. We're very average. But the one thing that we can control, because it was a stinker tonight. It was a stinker. And, we can come back here tomorrow and get to work.
Defense were maybe too tentative, especially with breakout passes and not joining the rush, that sort of thing.
I don't know if it was so much our defensemen. I think it was a five-man unit. We didn't work back for each other. When we came back for breakouts, off our neutral zone, we were slow to get to our position. We were slow to get to our position in the neutral zone, and you give a team credit like that because they didn't change the way they played, and we didn't play our brand of hockey.
You wanted to have the checking detail. You wanted everybody to keep it simple. When the team doesn't do that, is it a matter of just not experience, or is it just getting too high on themselves?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like I said, we thought it was going to be easy when we got the two-goal lead, and we were playing well. We were generating a lot, and then we got away from that. And it's very black and white to me. When we don't do the right things and play the way we're capable of playing, you can see the result.
You talked before the game about Linus not always getting the best games, and he was terrific early on, but he just didn't get the support. I mean, how tough is that for him?
Well, it's tough. I mean, he makes that huge game in the second period on the power play, and when we're on the penalty kill, and I just thought we didn't check right to the end, and we sort of left them out there, especially the fourth, fifth, and sixth goal. That was tough.
Okay, there's head coach Phil Housley following the Philadelphia 6-2 victory. His postgame comments brought to you by Paul William Belt, your power of attorney. Sabres core group feature. Well, we know the core scored today. Unfortunately, no one else did. Eichel is the major numero uno of the core, and he scores his 8th and 9th. But nobody else scored. We've addressed that. That's a big part of the issue right now with this team. No one else is scoring other than Jack Eichel's line. The Sabres core group feature brought to you by Corrigan Moving for your next group. Count on your core group of friends at Corrigan. Okay, the Kings are next. We'll look ahead to that game in a moment, but let's check the rest of the sports day. And here's Pat Mellicaro.
Let's look right now. The Kings are in action. That's the only other afternoon game today. LA hosting the Golden Knights. Vegas 33 points. The Kings just 21 in the basement of the Pacific Division. They are scoreless 3 minutes in. Everything else at 7 o'clock tonight or later, including the Bruins hosting Toronto. Sabres failed to gain any ground on the Leafs. At best, 3 points back of Toronto for second in the division. At worst, it could be up to 5 tonight. Penguins, Senators, 7 o'clock puck drop. Also at 7, Red Wings and Islanders. Tampa Bay, top team in the NHL, points-wise at 45. They host the Avalanche at 7. Also Columbus hosting the Capitals. Well, the Panthers and Rangers will meet down in Florida. 8 o'clock puck drop for the Coyotes and Sharks. Yesterday, the Flames losing captain Mark Giordano for 2 games, suspended by the league for a knee-on-knee collision with Mikko Koivu in their last game against the Wild. Flames will host the Predators tonight at 10 o'clock. Take a look at college basketball locally. Number 17, UB, is currently in action down at the Riley Center against St. Bonaventure. The Bulls up 11-5 over the Bonnies. Just about 14 minutes to go in the opening half, so just underway really in that game. 119th Army-Navy game being played in Philadelphia right now. Army, the Golden Knights, with a 7-0 lead over the Midshipmen with 5 minutes to go in the first half. And tonight, between 8 and 9 o'clock, we'll find out who the Heisman Trophy winner is, as the three finalists are in New York, as the Heisman will be handed out.
That's right. Three quarterbacks, Alabama, Ohio State, and Oklahoma, all represented. We'll see who wins it.
Just the seventh time, I believe, since the Heisman's been handed out, that the top three are all quarterbacks.
Are all QBs, yeah. Well, this UB Bonaventure game looks a little intriguing. Bulls off to a good start on the Bonnies, as you just said.
Well, Bonaventure got Courtney Stockard back recently. Riley Center is not an easy place to play. If you're looking for a game to be tripped up, this could be the best opportunity for the Bulls to maybe stumble heading into their game in Syracuse in a couple weeks.
The pair of games in Ireland that they win, impressive. Now here, obviously, if this ends up being a win, you know, could be a win, would be impressive, just as you mentioned, for that reason alone, beyond how good Bonna is or isn't. And then they've got games in Syracuse and Marquette
in the
third week of December coming up. So a real tough road stretch here. If somehow UB gets through all of them, then it's just max schedule the rest of the way. And tell me a game they're not favored in then the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, preseason favorite for their side of the MAC conference. You've got so many players in the preseason awards. So UB, look, there's a long way to go between now and March, but they've earned all the national recognition from guys like Jeff Goodman or Andy Katz or whoever. You know, Andy Katz with a projected bracket that came out this week that had UB as a 4 seed, and Jeff Goodman putting him in his top 15 overall in terms of top programs in the country. Nate Oates, is a lot going right for this Bulls program, and a lot that could continue to go right in the next couple of years with the way they're built. So this is an exciting time for Bulls fans.
That's right. If you are listening here on WGR in Buffalo and you do want the Bulls game, the Bulls-Bonna game, you can hear it on our sister station, ESPN 1520, with Josh Wetzel on the call. Bonna just hit a three. It's now 11-10, UB in front. Okay, as you mentioned, the Kings are next and playing now. They will come in, regardless of today's result, in last. They are 6 points out of second last, which is Vancouver. LA has 21 points, the lowest total in the National Hockey League, so they'll come in with the lowest total in the NHL. If this isn't a time to get better for Buffalo, you lose this game and you're going to have people that were trying to jump on the bandwagon now jumping right back off.
Yeah, the slow start for the Kings costing John Stevens his head coaching job. Willie Desjardins, who was a former head coach in Vancouver, has taken over there. Not really much of a spark, just I think because of where LA is. Look, they signed Ilya Kovalchuk to a 3-year deal this past offseason. He's missing time now, but somewhat of a disappointing start to his Kings tenure. And so the Kings are kind of, you know, one of those teams this year massively underperforming potentially and ripe for the picking.
That's right. Well, Army-Navy is good TV, and we've got UB Bonaventure and Syracuse-Georgetown. How are your Orange doing here early?
You know, I can't see the scoreboard there.
It's not up at the moment. Georgetown was up early.
Isn't that it on the right side?
It is. There we go.
Right.
Whoa. Hoyas are up 35-22.
This is surprisingly a interesting year for the Orange.
Yeah. And now that's officially gone to half. So it's 35-22 Georgetown, who's 7-1.
Yes.
If Syracuse loses, this wouldn't be like an awful loss in any way.
Syracuse was supposed to be in top third, I think, of the ACC with returning all 5 starters from last year and some others joining the mix in terms of recruiting, but I think it's a disappointment the way the season started.
And Boeheim looks in a good mood walking into the locker room.
Always.
Yes. Yeah, he's always in a good mood. He could be up 30. He would have looked that same, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Pat, well, this one got away from the Sabres. We'll see if it's better on Tuesday. Thank you for your work today.
Thanks.
Pat Melicaro here with me, Brian Colziel, on our Paul William Belts postgame show. Yep, the Sabres have lost now five in a row, 0-3-2 in their last five after winning 10 straight. Jack Eichel said it, that win streak means nothing now. Obviously, in the standings, Buffalo is still sitting much better than maybe where many thought they would be. Buffalo, through 30 games, a 17-9-4 record, 38 points. Still five clear of fourth place Montreal, now three back of second place Toronto, but losers of five straight. And after that 10-game win streak, now the Sabres are 5-3-2 in their last 10, or 0-3-2 in their last five. The Kings will be up next on Tuesday, and then they will be home for Arizona on Thursday. That game also right here at KeyBank Center at 7 p.m. All right, that'll put a wrap on our Paul William Belts postgame show. I want to thank our crew here at KeyBank Center. As we mentioned, Pat Melicaro, Jonathan Colziel, Paul Hamilton. I want to thank our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, and our crew back in our Amherst studios. Nick Lozanowski on our social media, TJ Luckman, our network producer. I'm Brian Colziel. I thank you for listening. The final again, Philadelphia with six in a row to end the game. Flyers 6, Sabres 2. Have a good rest of your weekend. Enjoy the Bills game tomorrow. We'll talk to you on Tuesday night here from KeyBank Center with the Sabres and the LA Kings right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.